When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven to you. Robbery, homicides, take me out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute. As promised at the end of the last episode, the fifth minute, we are now at the sixth minute of Michael Mann's 1995 crime film Heat, my favorite film, one of my favorite folk, Garth Franklin, editor-in-chief of Dark Horizons, a internet movie site, the pioneer, along with people like Ain't It Cool. He's with me today. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Is it a crime film or a crime saga?
It's my favorite word. It's a saga.
And Heat is an opus. The definitive sort of saga.
It is. saga is the perfect word. Yeah. It's the perfect word for it. So, we're going to drop you back into the 6 minute of Heat, and then we're going to talk about it.
Hey, taking me to breakfast?
I can't. I'm eating Bosco.
Hey, Vincent. Mom, where are my barrettes?
Hi, sweetie.
I saw them on the kitchen table.
They're not there. I already checked.
Want me to make coffee?
No school today?
My dad's picking me up. He's taking me to the new building and then to lunch.
Try under the cushions on the sofa.
So, we see some more of that beautiful tender love scene we saw.
There's another shot with them, like Pacino, especially it focuses on Pacino this time, looking into her eyes.
Yes. Yeah. It kind of comes in, but I love that it's Venora. Like the opening shot in the previous minute of the film, in the fifth minute of the film, not the sixth minute of the film, is Venora, like she pushes herself when she's on top of him and looks down. And then there's a moment where he sort of gets that, as you, what does he call him? That the controlling Italian alpha male.
Italian alpha male, the controller. Yeah. Which is so much of these alpha males dynamics in this movie.
So many, like there is the alphas of alphas of alphas in this movie.
Well,
so
they're all omegas, basically, trying to be alphas. That's the whole point of the movie. If you understand pack mentality, alphas better as omegas and all that sort of shit. Yeah. These are all omegas, which are lone wolves.
Yeah.
Who really are happier alone, devoted to their passions and so on like that. But they're all trying to be alphas, they have that too much of an ego and too much of other things.
And so there's a moment where he retakes control and then she sort of grabs her arm and just holds him up and makes him look at her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. And this is what I'm here for. This is me taking a moment and making you slow down in this moment to be with me in this second. And
it's all about him being present in that moment.
Yes, be here. Yeah. Be here in this moment with me.
And that's an issue which comes back a lot more down the track.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And so the next second we see sort of a shower scene, rare shower scene where you see someone use soap.
Yes, but the other thing...
Oh, sorry, outside of lather.
Well, no, there's a bit of leather, but the thing that strikes me with that shower scene when first seeing it is, considering him, and he's like a very efficient person. He's not a time waster. He's that kind of guy that does that sort of thing. So why not combine it? Why not just have the sex in the shower? Something like that. They've got the glass tiles, which is fine for the grip. I believe from personal experience, it's all good. So, it's a stand-up shower. It's not one of those combination bathtubs where you basically risk suicide every single time.
No, I just think it's him waking up, him having his shower. And also in that moment, I think it's just for a second there, that's his just... It's like an inhale in that shower.
Yeah, it's like but it's second. Also... I mean, you're seeing basically his routine. Yeah. You saw him both having the shower and then getting dressed into the business suit. Very, very nice business suit just for a standard cop sort of thing going to an office where they would normally just wearing a rumpled sort of everyday suit like most people do in the going offices. These guys, he's dressing really nice. Very nice wardrobe.
Yeah, he's got a nice wardrobe. And so you then see he comes out and Diane Venora takes
one of the best sort of puffs of smoke, post-coital smokes I've ever seen.
Post-coital cigarette. It may go down in the history of cinema as the best post-coital cigarette of all time. And she has this delightful grin that sort of lights up her face.
Yeah. Totally relaxed.
Totally relaxed. And sort of turns around and now we're introduced to Natalie Portman.
Well, before we get to that bit, the interesting thing I want to talk about is the geography of the bedroom there.
Yes.
It's an unusual bedroom.
It is an extremely weird
house. There are basically... Obviously, there's sort of an open-plan house, and the bed is right next to the stairwell. And the stairwell obviously goes down into the living room, I guess, because that's where the daughter comes up from. So it's like, if you're living there, it's a house design. If you're a single person or adult, you know, living as a couple, not an issue. It's not a family home by any means, because you're worried about the kid walking in and you're basically fucking like 5 minutes before.
Yeah. and so it's almost like that. And that's what I love now in reflection as an older person is like they've woken up, they've heard her pottering around downstairs and they kind of like are used to having quiet sex. Although it's extremely passionate, there's not like... In this moment, it doesn't feel like they're being, you know, really rude and disgusting or loud.
No. But as I said, it's a house designed for a single person or a couple, and so you basically aren't used to having sort of a volume knob turned down.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, this is her stepdaughter. This is not their daughter.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is he's not used to having someone, probably a young person in this house.
Yes. And so Diane Venora has a delightful... delightful post-coital cigarette. Yeah. Great, beautiful sort of cheeky smile appears on her face.
Yeah.
Vincent is framed behind her really beautifully, sort of blurred out there. And so she blows up this cloud of smoke, and as the smoke dissipates, you've got Vincent in the background, which is kind of I really like that as a sort of directorial choice. So you see Vincent look at her where she's blown the smoke, and then as the camera says, it's a bit of a two-shot, as it two-shots back, he's kind of... emerged from where she would have blown the smoke in the previous shot, and that's where we kind of and she's starting to talk to him. You're gonna buy me breakfast, and he's I'm meeting Bosco. So Bosco here is, you know, one of his team members. They've got to be meeting, and we'll later meet Bosco in an upcoming minute of the film. But you know, we don't know who Bosco is at this time. He could be anything, really. And I think that what's really interesting, you know, you're going from this, which is the sixth minute of the film, to even like I think it's the second or third minute of the film with De Niro. De Niro's Neil McCauley. Before he puts those gloves on, he could be an ambulance driver.
Yeah, technically he could be.
But other than the fact that
you know something's off.
You know something's off.
Yes. And you know with him, the way he's dressed and the way he's sort of moving and the way he's looking around and so forth, something's off this guy. This guy's certainly not he's just going to do a standard job and relaxing sort of thing. This guy's on edge.
And Vincent here...
on the other hand, is the complete opposite. Whereas, like, he's relaxed in thing. He knows where he's going.
And at this stage, we're not 100% that Vincent's a cop yet, even though it's going to become very apparent very quickly. Yeah. But at the moment, we don't really know what profession he's got. So there's an interaction, and then we have Natalie Portman.
Back in now. This is post-Leon?
Post-Leon.
Yeah.
We know her. Walks upstairs, and the great first thing is, hi, Vincent.
You're not my dad. Now, the interesting thing is, you forget with this movie, is that she really only has two scenes in the whole film. She has this scene, and she has three scenes. There's a tiny middle scene. But this is the bulk. This is the big scene with her, essentially.
This is the biggest scene for her in the film, where she's talking about, and it leads into a secondary scene which is coming up in an upcoming minute. Because this is the sixth.
Well, this is a fairly innocent scene. She seemed like just a standard young girl, and it's made pretty clear from the beginning that she that Pacino is not her dad, and she's very happy that he's not her dad.
Sort of. But he's also interested. He's like, no school today. He's interested in it.
Yes. And he's making an effort.
Right? And in this interaction, up into this 15 seconds, she's just looking for something in the house. It's such a natural thing with her mom. And it's as far as what's active. So there's this great, like, if you look at the spatial economy of the scene, just at 5 minutes and 5 minutes and 49 seconds of the 6 minute, you'll see De Niro's kind of straightening himself up, getting his beautiful tie, his very meticulous, nice watch, rings.
Yep.
He's got his necklaces on. We know are under his clothes. His hair looks great. And you've got the relaxed mum. Like, you've got this
very relaxed mum sitting on a bed in this sort of right next to the stairwell in what is an old converted warehouse sort of thing, which at the time wasn't very many of those in Los Angeles.
No.
So this would actually be it's a fascinating actually designed house.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But also just look at the way even the body language. She's relaxed. She's having a post-coital cigarette. She's not very interested.
Yeah.
And Vincent's the one that's taking a really active moment here to kind of go, is everything okay, sweetheart?
Yeah.
And so and the mum's going, oh, check downstairs. Check.
Yeah.
Check.
She's like very sort of
Who cares?
Yeah.
But I think that plays into exactly what you were describing before around. With Vincent specifically, is that Vincent is a guy who he's absolutely not used to it, but he's absolutely making an effort.
Yeah.
He's taking time in these moments that of his family or his newly constructed family life to attempt to be a responsible role model for her. Like,
yes, but the question is with him, and it's not really, it's one of those things where later on you find out, as I said, he's very, very self-aware of who he is. And that's one of the most interesting things about his character. Later on, the fact that there are plenty of guys who do the same sort of thing, but they kind of expect rewards.
Yes.
Which is kind of the thing which is not really deserved. It's more a case of just responsibility. He's someone who is making an effort in this case. But we don't see it yet, because as we find out later, of course, that his job is his passion.
Yes.
That's what he's devoted. He's a workaholic beyond workaholic. Yes. This is what he's devoted to. The fact that he's actually sort of trying to have this sort of domestic life on top of that, he's obviously trying, but as we know from later on, it's like three marriages, something's not working right.
Yeah.
And we'll find out later as that goes on what happens. But
and so we've got the sort of final 11 seconds here is, and I love that sort of telling one is that in the interchange of the scene there is Vincent's kind of taking Justine's cues here, his wife, Diane Venora. And so she's talking to her mom. I don't know where they are. I've looked. And then, do you want me to make coffee? So she's more interested in helping out and interacting with Vincent at the moment than her. That's a super part of that, you know, really interesting dynamic. You want me to make coffee? No. And Vincent's the one that brings it back to the little girl.
Yep.
He says, no school today.
He's a responsible cop.
He's being responsible, right? And she goes, and to which...
And my dad's picking me up today. Huge smile.
My dad's picking me up today. She's really happy about her dad. Yeah. So there's clearly, like, mum's got her in the custody. That's what's happened. Mm. It's her place. But there's a lot of animosity. There's a strained relationship, which we're going to see explored in the seventh minute and beyond.
Mm.
But it's really interesting that Vincent brings the topic away from himself. Would you like me to make coffee? Straight back to, no school today. And I think maybe every single day that my daughter doesn't have school, I'm going to say that to her.
No school today?
No school today! Straightening a tie that I'm not wearing. Mm-hmm. No school today! But yeah, that's one of my favourite sort of little character tells. It's just something so beautiful because Venora, she's an outstanding actress.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah. And I love the dynamic immediately established in 20 seconds in this scene as well.
But the film is very good at doing that. It's very good at, as I said, because everything is so fully formed before this point, as they go into things, the characters pop up on screen. So even like with the other crooks, with the other things, they basically have almost no dialogue, and yet you kind of figure out the personality types right away. It gets bang, bang, bang.
Convey rather than say. Man, it's amazing. As a director, directing performance where no one says a word.
Yes.
And you are able to see people in action.
And this comes from a very distinct approach, which is basically planning things out ahead of time, very meticulously, to the point of like everything is almost like...
It's automatic.
Yeah.
You have to be automatic on that.
Yeah.
And the final thing is, I love Diane Venora's character, Justine. She says to Natalie Portman's character, like, have you checked on the sofa? And at the cusp of the seventh minute... Natalie Portman's got this look on her face like, I've looked for them, you...
Yes, Mom!
I've looked for them, Mom, you idiot! And it's, you know, look, she's come off the back of a... It's a way more classic character than she obviously burst on the scene with Leon for Natalie Portman. It's a way more classic...
Well, it's a way more regular kind of character.
Regular girl.
Yeah, it's not a... I mean, as Natalie Portman performances go, this is not ranking up there. This is one of the... It's a very minor... It's a very minor role. It's a key role, but it's a very minor role.
It's a very minor role, and also, it's nowhere near as interesting as Leon, number one.
No.
As far as a character, the sort of Lolita.
But Leon was sort of a genre-changing sort of thing with that character. The whole point of the character was defying all the expectations of, you know, a young girl at that age.
Yes.
Whereas this is almost like the quintessential, hi, I'm the young girl at this age.
She's a young girl, but it's also, for a young performer, just to be around...
Oh, something like Man Talents and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Diane Venora.
Yeah.
Like Ted Levine.
Yeah.
And then be directed by Michael Mann.
Yeah.
I mean, what an absolutely out of control time for this girl. We are on the cusp of the seventh minute. And the introduction of one of the most fascinating bad guy characters I think I've ever seen in film. And... also, at one of the most telling moments that took me probably a good 30 or so viewings to consistently pick up in the next minute. Excuse me, I need to wet my whistle with some more beverage. Garth Franklin.
Yes.
I would like to offer a... hopefully give you an offer to which you cannot refuse.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to come back?
Oh, absolutely.
For the seventh minute.
I could do that, yeah.
Of Heat.
Yeah.
This has been One Heat Minute. This has been Blake Howard and Garth Franklin. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you're enjoying it. Check out the previous episodes if you want to check out with Stu Coote and Garth Franklin and myself. And we'll be back with another episode diving into Michael Mann's crime saga with Garth Franklin and other wonderful guests and beyond. Speak to you soon.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garth Franklin, for joining me on One Heat Minute Episode 4. You can find Garth at darkhorizons.com or at darkhorizons on Twitter. He is also one of the co-designers of this website. Thank you, sir. And thank you once again to music by Mr. Paul Davies. Guys, we'll catch you next time on One Heat Minute. Thank you so much for listening and following along. Hashtag One Heat Minute on Twitter or just oneheatminute.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.